Welcome to your weekly Salem History Moment. This program is brought to you by your local Salem Historic Landmarks Commission and focuses on the people, places, and events in Salem's past. This is Kimberly Fitzgerald. 100 years ago this week, on July 29, 1925, the first man from Marion County entered prison for violating prohibition laws. He was the first to be sentenced to the Oregon State Prison. Harry Block was found with 12 gallons of liquor and a still on Paul Munno's farm in Salem. He was sentenced to a year in prison and a fine of $1,000. According to the Oregon Statesman, published on July 29, 1925, Circuit Judge Percy Kelly denounced the defendant as one of the most flagrant violators of the prohibition law. Paul Munno operated the still on his farm with Harry Block, but Munno was paroled in exchange for turning in his partner. Two of Munno's daughters, aged 15 and 13, had also helped operate the liquor plant. In 1925, Joe Walker of Mount Angel was also arrested, and 4,500 gallons of mash were seized, together with 110 one-gallon jugs of whiskey and 400 full-pint bottles. Walker's farm had 16 huge wooden vats used in the fermentation process, each containing between 250 and 300 gallons of mash. A large 7-foot-high, 3-horsepower steam boiler was used to heat the vats to aid fermentation. The stills were located about 100 yards from the road and housed in a granary and feed mill, well hidden. Walker was sentenced to serve 1 year in the county jail and a fine of $3,000, but he appealed. And even though he appealed, he was still found guilty on appeal at the circuit court. He continued to appeal, filing his appeal with the Oregon Supreme Court in August 1925. The big 7-foot still was displayed in the sheriff's office in Mount Angel throughout the rest of the year, through the end of 1925. The history of prohibition and temperance in Oregon actually stretches back well before we even became a state. For example, in the 1820s, the British Hudson's Bay Company insisted that all liquor be removed from business transactions with native people. The term bootlegging actually comes from the practice of traders who used to hide flasks of liquor in the legs of their tall boots to hide them from authorities. They would actually trade alcohol with the Native Americans. When the Methodist missionaries arrived in 1834, they also noticed this practice with the Hudson Bay trappers, and they helped form the first Oregon Temperance Society in 1836. This dedication to temperance also took hold after Oregon's provisional government was established, and they passed a law prohibiting the production and sale of alcohol, which was passed in 1844. But it didn't last long. It was repealed the following year in 1845. The Women's Christian Temperance Union organized in 1883 and advocated for the prohibition movement as well as new laws in Oregon regarding prohibition. Their work resulted in the adoption of Oregon's prohibition law, which was adopted in 1914 and scheduled to be enforced beginning in 1916. So by the time the federal prohibition law was adopted in 1919, some people in Oregon had already had a few years head start on making and selling their own alcohol, and this revived the term bootlegging. The term moonshine had also been used, as the liquor was often distilled at night to avoid detection. A network of manufacturers, distributors, and buyers spanned the West Coast north into Canada. Amy Platt has written The Moonshines on Moonshine, an Oregon bootlegging story for the Oregon Historical Society, which was published in 2020. I'd like to share a story from her article. On February 7, 1932, a boat named Sea Island, manned by 3 men from Canada, Charles Ryall, William Kerr, and Stanley Babcock, ran aground in Oregon's Whale Cove, which was locally known as Bootlegger Bay. The cove was ideal for small boats sneaking into shore in the dead of night to drop off bottles of whiskey. The Canadians unloaded 400 cases of whiskey and several dozen bottles of 190-proof alcohol and buried it in the sand. Then they set the boat on fire to disguise its purpose and caught a ride to Portland with the shore gang. But the clean getaway was cut short when the car flipped over near Hebo on Highway 101. The men finally caught a stage to Portland, and police investigators happened to find the abandoned car in the ditch. They checked the license plate, which had been illegally switched, and they managed to find the men. By the time they got to Portland, the police were waiting for these bootleggers and gave them a ride back to Lincoln County to the Toledo jail. The burned boat in Bootlegger Bay was pretty suspicious to the locals, and so people began to poke around in the sand, and they recovered most of the liquor, which was actually moved to the Toledo jail. And for a little over a month, February to March, these three Canadians just simply sat in the jail until on March 19th, a group of men came to break them out of the Toledo jail. On that night, March 19th, a convoy, including two cars and two sizable trucks containing nine men, they were known as the Romali Gang, they arrived at the jail to break out these three Canadians and take the 400 cases of whiskey, rum, and brandy, along with the other liquor, the 15-gallon cans of 190-proof alcohol. After 15 minutes, a gentleman known as Sidney Carrick, he had cut through three locks and a steel door with his welding torch, and the rest of the crew began to haul the liquor out to the trucks. Two of the men remained on lookout, armed with their machine guns. And once the liquor was safely in the trucks, these lookouts left the group in their car, and the remaining crew headed north in one of the sedans and the two trucks with the liquor. They were trying to get to Portland. What they didn't know was that someone had actually called the Oregon State Police, warning that there was going to be an attempted jailbreak and an attempt to steal all the liquor from the Toledo jail. And the state police had actually passed this convoy on Highway 18 without knowing it. But then after they saw the damage to the jail, they turned around and they ended up catching up with the crew and the trucks who had stopped for gas near the Grand Ronde. The police found the other men in the sedan who had just simply pulled off to the side of the road to wait for the guys in the truck. They were all rearrested and sent to the jail according to which side of the county line they were arrested on. So about half of them went to Tillamook and half to Corvallis. Their ringleader, the gentleman who broke them out, his name was Paul Romali, hence the name the Romali Gang. It's interesting to note that he was also an international motorcycle racer, famous for breaking a record riding from Mexico to Canada. He was also known to race through Portland streets at a breakneck speed of 70 miles per hour. You also might be curious what happened to all of that liquor. These twice-seized bottles were sent to the U.S. Custom House on Broadway and Davis in Portland, where on one July day in 1932, agents gathered in the basement and took turns hurling the bottles against the back wall of an elevator shaft. As the whiskey filled the shaft, it was pumped into a sewer where it was emptied into the Willamette. In December 1933, the 21st Amendment repealed prohibition, and just days after this repeal, that same month, Oregon legislators created the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And it's mandated with many of the same duties it performs today. To read more about the Romali Gang and their caper in 1932, you can find their story, including mugshots, on the Oregon Secretary of State's website. Just go to sos.oregon.gov and search for Booze and the Big House.
Thanks for joining us for a Salem History Moment. For more information about Salem's Historic Landmarks Commission and our Historic Preservation Program, please visit cityofsalem.net.